Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. It is Saturday, November 30th, 2019, and welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, your favorite author, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, none other than himself, myself, I should say. Jeffrey Rochelle, author Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, we have a dynamic show. Tonight, we have author Anissa Davis Jackson, who is going to be talking about her book, Memoirs of a Broken Side. We'll also highlight Thanksgiving, and I will also talk about the upcoming shows that we have scheduled for the remaining of the year, because December 1st is tomorrow. So without further ado, let's get started. I wonder, and I'm asking this question, how was your Thanksgiving before I talk about mine? So let's talk about mine. My Thanksgiving was great. I worked the holiday. I work a job where I don't have the holiday off per se, but if I want to request it off, I work for one of those establishments. I work in the healthcare field, first and foremost. I work in the healthcare field, and where I work, we have the option of doing two holidays we have to work, and one holiday we get off. So I usually always do Christmas and Thanksgiving because they're really not really anything big to me, and I love that time and a half coming to work, getting that extra 8 hours. So again, this year I'm working Thanksgiving, of course I did, and Christmas, and I'm looking forward to the Christmas break. Because after I get off at 3 o'clock p.m. on Christmas Day from working, getting that time and a half with that regular pay, I'm off for 4 days. I don't have to see my job until the following Monday, so I'm pretty much excited about that, happy about that. But as far as Thanksgiving was okay. I worked, had a chance to, you know, be with the residents at the facility I worked with for the day. The day went pretty smooth. Then I came home with my family, ate. Took a shower first before I ate. Then I laid it down, and I woke up about, I want to say 11 p.m. or 12 in the morning. I'm like, wow, I went to sleep pretty early, because I think when I crashed, it was about maybe 8, 9 o'clock. So you know I was dog tired. Ate that plate after I got out of the shower, and I was knocked out. So when I woke up, I was like, it's 12 o'clock in the morning. And I had to, needless to say, get up and do it all over again. And I had to get up and do it all over again yesterday on my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday. And I just want to say to anybody listening, thank you so much for those listening that took the time on Facebook to send me a happy birthday. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed my birthday yesterday. I was amongst my good friends, and we went out for casual drinks. and Eden and just enjoying each other's presence. And I thank them for coming out as well, too. And we always get together like that on my birthday or any other special occasion. We are trying to make that a habit where we get together every month, once a month, and just go out and have fun, enjoy each other's company. Because good friends are so hard to find these days. People are so untrustworthy. People say they're your friend. They're really not. You got to worry about whether people are jealous of you or whether they're happy for you in any and all aspects of your life, whether you're doing something positive or whatever. So I just enjoy the fact that I have good friends, and they are there for me when I need them, and I'm actually there for them as well. So like I said, I had fun for my birthday. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed being in the presence of them, and I look forward to doing something every month with them. We even talking about going to Jamaica for my 40th birthday. And I cannot believe I'm approaching my 40th birthday within the next 2 years. I remember when I was in high school, I remember my mother saying that these years are going to fly by fast. And lo and behold, she wasn't lying, because my 20s flew by, my 30s, they rapidly closed into an end. And I cannot believe I will be 40 in another 2 years. I cannot believe that. But needless to say, I had fun for my birthday yesterday, and Thanksgiving was okay. I didn't eat too much, didn't drink too much. But yesterday, I had a couple of those margaritas at Chili's, because Chili's had $5 margaritas, and I was throwing them back. They were so little, though. So just to give, you know, let everybody know, it wasn't no real big margarita. They was the little bitty shooter shot glasses. And they were like $5, so I was just like, okay, cool. And they tasted like Amarillo Sour, even though it was Hennessy mixed with some kind of other sweet alcoholic beverage. But it tasted like Amarillo Sour, and it really didn't have any effect on me. But like I said, I just enjoyed the company of my friends and them being in the company of me and helping me celebrate my birthday on yesterday. So I cannot believe that we only have four more Saturdays to the season one of the Saturday Spotlight. I cannot believe that. I started this September 28th, I believe. It was the end of September. And I'll be ending this on, for this first season, December 28th. So I am so excited about that. And we have abundance of good shows, like the one tonight with Anissa Davis Jackson. But the ones coming up are definitely going to be good as well, too, especially the one on December 28th. You do not want to miss the Saturday Spotlight on December 28th. That show is going to run for almost 2 hours, and I'm going to have a couple of the well-known literary divas, as I call them, of the Midwest, They are well-known female authors of the Midwest, and I also call that Oprah had her favorite thing show, Author Jeff's favorite things. I call that my favorite thing show as well, too, and we are going to be giving away a couple of gifts. So you do not want to miss the Saturday Spotlight on December 28th, I believe. That's December 28th, that Saturday night, the last Saturday of this year. You do not want to miss that show. It is going to be my author Jeffrey Rochelle's favorite things. I have on the Literary Divas of the Midwest, and we are going to be on for an hour and a half, and we are going to be giving away gifts. So you do not want to miss that show. Mark your calendars, as well as the upcoming shows that we have. But like I said, I just cannot believe that these days, months, and weeks go by so fast. Like I said, I started this thing in September, and it's getting ready to end in less than four more episodes as of next week, season one. And it was a struggle for me at first doing this. I was very nervous. This was my first time hosting my own literary blog show. But this is how I got started. So I said, you know what, I want to give back to other new and upcoming independent authors as myself to get their name out there, their books out there. And I believe I've done a good due service by doing that, because we don't have really too many literary live radio blog shows like this. I believe it's maybe a couple others I've heard about, but we don't have any that many literary live blog shows that showcase authors. And like I said, this is what got me started. This is what got my name out there. And I said, you know what? I want to pick up the torch and keep it moving. And even when I put it down, I'm hoping that somebody else picks up the torch and keeps it moving as well, too. Because there's so many indie authors out there. I want to continue this next year and get as many people on here as I can. I want to bring people back as well that has been on previous shows. But I just all around want to continue to keep doing this as much as I can, because this gives authors a chance to highlight, talk about, discuss their books. It gives readers a chance to find out who they are, whether you're calling in or listening. And you get a chance to get a feel for their author, ask them questions. The authors on each show give away a free gift to a lucky caller. So this is something that's definitely a good service for authors as well as readers. So I always promote each and every show every week. I have the authors do a promotional flyer. I get their flyers out. I tag them as much as I can when I'm posting on my page. Because before I was a writer, I was a reader. I was a very avid, hardcore reader. And I believe that if I did not write books, I probably would be a part of somebody's book club reading and reviewing books. But I've just always had a passion for reading books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction. As long as it's a good story, I'm there, I'm reading it. And I just want to get it out to the masses as well, too, because in our African-American community as well, reading is not so much of a thing that's really taken seriously. You know, a lot of our women, African-American women, they do read, but we talked about that a couple of shows ago with, I believe it was Mario was on it. He talked, him and Sean, and he talked about how our Black African-American males don't read a lot, and that's true. So if I see someone that has a particular interest in a book that I know, a Black guy, I tell them about the books that I have, but I also point them in the ranks of Quan or Mario Smith or Sean Starling, you know, people that write those type of books, Jaquavis and Ashley, people that write those type of books, and the male Black authors at that too, because it makes you want to read. Because, I, like I said, a lot of our Black brothers don't like to read, and I don't write that real hardcore literature. I love reading it, but I don't write it. So the ones that like that, I try to point them in that direction and say, hey, have you checked out Quan? Have you checked out Ashley and Jaquavis? Have you checked out author C.J. Hudson? Have you checked out Sean Starling? Have you checked out Mario Smith? Have you checked out it's an abundance of urban writers who write that type of genre, and I just try to give, you know, those type of readers or to another African-American male that may want to read that type of work, hey, this is a good book, pick it up. So that's why I designed this platform. Like I said, I want to keep it going next year, and I just like doing what I do. So I'm kind of happy about doing this. I'm kind of happy about shining the spotlight on different authors. And like I said, I'm going to keep doing it as much as I can, I want to send a shout-out to my little cousin, Jalen Washington. His high school football team won a 6A football championship tonight. So shout-out to my little cousin, Jalen Washington, my cousins Jermaine and Sharita Washington, his parents. Congratulations, little Jalen, on winning your 6A state football championship, your varsity football team. So proud of you, dude, and I cannot wait to see you guys at the family reunion this year. So just want to send a shout-out to him as well, too. But other than that, what's on y'all Christmas list? I want to know what's on y'all Christmas list. Me, myself, the only thing I do is give away gift cards because I don't have the time to go to the store to pick up a gift. So my family, they enjoy gift cards. Me, myself, I love gift cards, and I love Bath and Body Works gift cards. And before you judge me by me saying that, let me clear that up. Bath and Body Works has a section for men. They don't just have stuff for women. And I had to clear it up with somebody because they was like, I saw you posted a post about how you like Bath and Body Works. And ain't that a store for women? Correct. Incorrect. That is not a store for just women. Incorrect on that. That is not a store just for women. Bath and Body Works has a whole section for men. And the fragrances that they have for us guys smell very good. I even stopped picking up expensive cologne because I get their male body wash. I wear a midnight for men. And that body lotion and that body wash smells very, very good. And I guarantee you, let a woman smell that on you. I tell my brothers all the time, let a woman smell it on you. You're definitely going to get lucky that night. You're definitely going to get a hug on you saying, what's that? Because when I wore it to work, the first time I had wore that fragrance from work, I had all the ladies at work like, what's that you got on? Tell us what that is. And I'm like, it's midnight for men from Bath and Body. Like, it smells good. So at that point, I stopped going and getting a lot of expensive cologne because you can catch those deals, and that's why I'm always at Bath & Body Works. I have the app on my phone. You can catch those deals there. They always got some kind of promotion going on. After you get so many points, you can also qualify for a free gift. So I stay in the store. The people know my name at the Tinley Park location. They know my face and name when I'm coming. And like the first time I went in there and purchased Abundance of body wash and lotion for men, the lady hooked me up. She gave me like, it was a 10% coupon going on. Then she gave me, what else did she give me when I went to ring up? She had a 10% coupon, and then it was like, when you spend $30, you get this back, and then most of the body wash was buy three, you get three free. So needless to say, right before my family reunion this past year, I came out of Bath and Body Works with two big grocery bags full of lotion. I just finished almost all of that lotion right now, and I've had that lotion since the beginning of July. So it's been August, September, October. I didn't have that abundance of lotion for like 3 months. So it's like I don't even wear – I used to wash up with, what is that, Irish Spring. I don't even get that no more. I don't even get the regular lotion. I get the Bath and Body Works stuff because that lotion for men smells off the chain. And I commend it to my bro. I recommend it to any other man to go in there. And ladies as well, too, go in there and get your boyfriend or your guy a Bath and Body Works gift card. Buy him that. You know, get him that because that lotion is off the chain. Fire off the chain. I love it. Love wearing it. And as long as I can keep wearing the fragrances, I am. Check. So, and to the show, as always, as I go into here, as always, 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 this show is sponsored by Beggars in Gary, Indiana. Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana. And they're open till midnight tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And their number is 219-951-0695. Again, that number is 219-951-0695. And that's the new Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. That address, again, is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And then we have Nikki on Stony, home of their famous jerk fries. And they're open till 1 a.m. this morning. Next morning, I should say. And their address is 8126 South Stony Island Avenue on the southeast side of Chicago. Again, that address is 8126 South Stony Island Avenue, and their number is 773-902-2800. Again, that number is 773-902-2800. And Layla Sports Bar and Grill, for all your banquet and get-together needs, stop by Layla Sports Bar and Grill. Their address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. Their phone number is 708-277-9821. Again, Layla Sports Bar and Grill. That address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. And their number is 708-277-9821. So, without further ado, we are going to get into the highlighted segment of this show, as always, which is the author of the week. And that author is none other this week than Anissa Davis Jackson. Miss Anissa Davis Jackson. And she's going to talk about her book, Memoirs of a Broken Side. I'm very interested in hearing about this book and interviewing her as well. She seems like a woman on the move because she's doing so many different things. I watch her when she posts on Facebook. And I like the positivity that she's doing with this book, the things that she has going on that I see and I'm able to catch. So I'm honored to be interviewing Miss Anissa Davis Jackson tonight. I like her spirit, her style. I don't know her off Facebook per se, but just her spirit and her style has drawn me to her. And like I said, I send nothing but positive vibes to Miss Anissa Davis Jackson. So I see her out on the queue. And I know I told her I was going to bring her in 20 to 25 after, but I'm going to bring her in 1 minute early. So without further ado, welcome to the Saturday Spotlight, Miss Anissa Davis Jackson. Hello, Anissa.
Hello, Jeffrey. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm truly blessed tonight. Thank you so much for having me on this show. That's for sure. Happy birthday.
No problem. Thank you, and no problem. I'm glad you could come by, but thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. All right, so where do we start? You've got a lot. I love the positive spirit that you have also. I've been listening in. I've been checking you out as well. So I definitely I feel your vibe as well. We're on the same age, I think. You said you'll be 40 in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So you're 80s baby. So we might be able to connect on a few other things too. So.
Okay. definitely. So, where we begin, okay? So, tell us who you are. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and then about your book, Memoirs of a Broken Side.
Okay, sure. Well, my name is actually Anaisa. So, it's Long Guy. Anaisa Davis Jackson, born and raised here in Kansas City, Missouri. So it's the home of the barbecue and the jazz. So shout out to 18th and Vine Historical District here. Before I get started, I did want to just say some shout outs real quick just to let everybody know I do appreciate their support and those that are calling in to tune in to hear me out. But just want to say thank you to Fred the Genius, Derek Hill with Legacy Entertainment, and Arthur Philip Berrion. I believe he was the connection between you and I here. I wanted to show my appreciation there. And then, of course, first things first, would like to say all praise to the Most High. And, you know, again, my name is Anaisa Davis Jackson. I'm born and raised here in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, I studied business management, criminal justice, Park University, pretty much just your regular girl next door. You know, there's really nothing too spectacular about me. I really stumbled upon being an author after being led on a spiritual journey into truth that actually dealt with the murder of my father, who was an NFL player who was murdered here in Kansas City in 1987 on Christmas Eve. So the book Memoirs of a Broken Side, it's a very, you know, a deep book. It touches on many different levels within our African-American community. It first gives insight on a young girl who is actually growing up fatherless and the traumatic effects, you know, that children have when they lose a protective parent. So after many years go by, you know, this young lady finds herself in toxic relationships, you know, which stem from the absence of a father, and she doesn't realize it until one day, you know, she just decides to change her life and become more spiritually grounded. And during that spiritual awakening, was she burdened or sort of her life was interrupted by a truth that she didn't even know existed. You know, the woman that I'm referring to is myself. I was 27 years old when I came into a spiritual awakening, and it had something to do with the murder of my dad. My father died when I was a little over six. Again, he died on Christmas Eve. So, you know, Christmas, the holiday, all of that, my life had pretty much been tainted by those memories. He was shot, put in the back of a pickup truck. That's all I ever knew. Many, many years later, you know, so what happens is that I'm awakened by this spiritual presence that has me researching the murder of my father. Come to find out, the man who was convicted in this crime, come to find out he wasn't the killer. There were three other suspects. Police were heavily involved in the murder of my father. This was like a complete cover-up here in the state of Missouri. The case just blew me away. Like, literally, I was led blindly into a situation that I knew nothing about. So, you know, I've been through the fire and back. What was meant to destroy me basically made me stronger. I'm here to promote truth, and that it's impossible to know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. So I take the situation dealing with my dad, and I know that the Most High was revealing to me that in order for me to clean out all that bad stuff that was within me, that was actually attracting these toxic relationships and these situations and kids out of wedlock and all that stuff, you know, it has something to do with the brokenness that I had, which all stemmed from the murder and absence of my father. So the book is really powerful. It even talks about, you know, a family. You know, the title is called Memoirs of a Broken Side because one man's death actually cut me off of a bloodline. So I didn't, me and my sisters weren't able to grow up with the Davis side of the family, which is my father's side of the family, because after he was murdered, my parents were married, but after he was murdered, everyone just kind of went their separate way, and that was it. So it's called Memoirs of a Broken Side for that reason, because it literally, one man's death caused brokenness. Everybody's life just somehow just stopped in 87. I do have other siblings, In fact, through the course of this case, I ended up hiring an attorney. We did our own investigation. But before I did that, I actually was doing the footwork, knocking on doors, literally talking about this 27-year-old case. People thought I was clearly out of my mind, you know. I learned that the ambulance was canceled. I learned that the man convicted was wrongfully convicted. I mean, the case paperwork was just so disturbing. It would just blow your mind. And so what happens is that as the Lord has given me the spirit of investigation, it's not just the case that I am intrigued by, because it literally almost like took me under, but I also began to dissect other things too. Like, it's like I was on this spiritual journey to truth, so I've got my Bible, I've got the case, I've got the Bible, I've got the case. And so as I'm researching my dad's murder case, there's certain things, key words that are being highlighted in it. The fact that he was a Negro, so that kind of, you know, heightened me up a little bit. And then it's like other things about his bloodline and stuff. It's almost like the whole case was meant to get my focus back on what is the issue, which is our people and the cultural deprivation. So it goes from being the case of my dad to being the case of mankind. And as you get to the back of the book, it talks about my spiritual journey into truth and how I'm not just learning about the case, the unsolved murder of my father, which was cold case. I'm learning more about the system and the bondage and the cultural deprivation and all the stuff that we take, you know, that we hear, but no one's really getting it, you know. And so, you know, this journey that I was led on, no one told me where to find this stuff. I literally was being, it was like a spiritual GPS. So I was actually doing the footwork myself, and I came into this truth.
Okay. Awesome. And like I said, I've seen you. And it was some of the stuff that you were, like, doing, and I guess the countercourse of what you're speaking about now with the book, and it's just I've looked at the positiveness of, you know, I didn't know the impact of the book with your dad, you know, being murdered, but I seen, like, the how you were, how you have this positive push that you were out there, like, pushing the message, and I enjoy that so much from seeing that, because I'm like, she really has a lot of spunk with, you know, she's out there getting the word out, and it's almost as if you are going into the system with politics a little bit, or going into the judicial, you know, the judicial system a little bit, but what went on with the book. So do you kind of feel like, because of what happened to your dad and, like, what's the missing bits and pieces, are you, like, going that way or not? So, like, are you, like, going, you know, wanting to go into that type of work? Like, I know you say you're highlighting what, you know, has happened, but are you, like, being led to that way for, you know, being for false convictions of people and also these false, you know, unsolved murders? Are you going into that type of, you know, field too?
Actually, that's a really good question. You know, I actually studied criminal justice prior to this spiritual awakening, and I had no idea that the things that I had done, even in college and even in high school, because I wrote in, you know, I wrote for, like, the school paper, I wrote little things in high school, but I didn't know that my life was actually being set up for this. I have been told I do make a wonderful investigator, FBI agent, so, and I do have the gift of discernment. That didn't just come about. That's something, even as a kid, you know, I stayed away from the bad things, you know. You know, I was told to stay away from drugs, so I stayed away from drugs. You know, growing up in the 80s, we had to just, you know, the Just Say No campaign. So when we grew up, we knew there was just this campaign that they were pushing on us, right? Say no to drugs, say no to this. So we was like that from that era that we did have a lot of positive things around us as far as, like, the music culture and stuff, but we also had a lot of negative things too, you know. So in the book, it's really going to take you back in time. It'll basically probably open up some things within you that you didn't even know was even there. But as far as, like, where I'm going with it now, I do help people with cases. I don't have a degree in any type of criminal justice, but I can help people. I can advocate for people. I can tell you how to go about getting the information, because I'm just briefly telling you how, what all happened to, you know, to me during this journey. But my dealings with the political system, you know, with the police department, was just terrible to the point they were actually, there's a bulldog in every station that does not want you to push forward in anything. But the reason why I say that is because they do a lot of intimidation. So I just sort of followed the spirit. I knew that it was something that I had to do, because otherwise it wouldn't have been brought to me, because it just came out of nowhere. And with every door that I opened up, something was there. And then it's like I found out a truth that I somewhat knew that existed, but I just knew that the chapter with my dad dying and everything, it just somehow just kind of got swept under the rug. It just happened so fast. And so also in the book, I'm really demonstrating and I'm giving you the process of grievance in a child and then what that child is like when they become older. Because as I grew older, I actually became antisocial. You know, I really didn't hang around a lot of people. I was in my room. You know, I'm really a loner, you know, and all that. But that all has something to do with the feelings of losing that protective parent, because my parents, they were married, and I was a daddy's girl. So one minute, you know, I remember seeing this strong male. My father worked out. You know, he played football. He was determined. You know, he was a dark-skinned guy. I mean, he was very, very strong. Like, my dad used to lift the front end of cars. He would do it to make us laugh. You know, he was very, very strong and strong-willed and all of that. But I also saw a sensitive side to him, too. So as a kid, I developed a passion for the black man, even as a kid. So I saw my dad cry, you know, when bills were overdue or when him and my mother were at odds and everything. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm really trying to promote that fathers really need to be there for their daughters, because they have a lot to do with the beauty and the character that their daughter will possess later on in life. So it's really a deep, it's a really deep book. I mean, it's going to send you on a tsunami of an emotions. It's not just about the murder of my father, but like I said, we're going to talk about history. It has the culture as far as blues and jazz, how I discovered that I'm from a family line of singers. You know, my dad sung, you know, and how, you know, the Most High started taking me and like rearranging my whole thought process, you know. It's just deep, like, I was broken down to these many different pieces and then brought back up to what I was supposed to be. But it really, it's something, definitely. I do have the gift to deserve it, that's for sure. And that has always been there. That has always been there. Like, I always can sense when something is wrong, and that's how I was able to pick up on, you know, what I did. So, but yeah. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, it did. It did. In a nutshell, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, when did you publish this book? When was it published?
It was published today of last year, 2018.
Okay.
It's a 10-year spiritual journey into truth. Mm-hmm. 10 years of record keeping.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure you've done a couple of book signings and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Like, were you nervous at first when you published it and you started doing the book signings, or did you go in kind of like how I see you when you're doing your videos and things? Like, I see you talking to folks. And was it a nervous journey for you putting the book, you know, let people know about the book, or was it something that you just was like, okay, I'm real strong-willed about it, like how you talk about it now?
Oh, gosh. That is such a good question, because, like, even now I still get nervous. But I think it's because of the mission that I'm on, and it's so personal, yet sometimes I have to separate the personal side to the business side. So sometimes I get a little overwhelmed, especially when I get to talking about the case, because it's a very sensitive situation. So as far as that is concerned, I'm literally always nervous, because I try my best to, like, line it up with whatever, you know, God is doing with me at that moment, because everybody's not ready for this type of stuff, you know, this message. Everyone's not ready for it. So, you know, I did have some insecurities, because people are really uncomfortable when the truth is being exposed, or when, you know, they're coming with real life situations here. So, you know, yeah, definitely. I feel insecure at times, you know, but the thing is that everything that the Lord revealed to me over 10 years ago is unfolding right before my eyes. So one thing I can say is that if you have a vision that the Most High has given you, stay on that path, because had I not stayed on that path, I don't know where I would be to this day. I really don't, you know, and that's where my change happened, when I truly searched deep within, and which took me back to the past to expose that truth. Then that's when I was brought forward. So, like, it wasn't simple whatsoever, you know. So, I mean, if a person has a vision, I have had to put away insecurities and just kind of close my eyes and do it. But do I get nervous? All the time. Because when you're talking about platforms and speaking, one thing about being an author, and you know this because you are one, everything that you position and you put out there can make or break someone. And that I took very seriously, even in the very beginning, because I would question, I would fast and pray. Before I would even start writing, I had to be in a clear, like, everything had to be peaceful. Like, it's only a certain time that I was able to write. If I just start writing it, it just wouldn't work out. Something will happen to my computer. My laptop's end up broke. But whenever, like, I was in the spirit and truly, like, receiving that sound, you know what I'm saying, like that, in that zone, then I could trust that what I was writing was right, you know, was what I needed to write. Because, you know, you can't always write with emotions all the time, because otherwise you could say things the wrong way. And like I said, writing, you can make or break someone. You can either build them up or you could tear them down, all with your writing. So, yeah.
So true. That's definitely true. Definitely true. So, in doing the different book signings and being out there, has anyone told you from reading the book, you know, Anaisa, you touched me from your dad's story and, you know, the story period in general? Has anyone given you that positive vibe to tell you that this book really touched me? You know, I mean, how many people has come and, you know, expressed that, you know, type of, you know, emotion to you about the book?
Absolutely everyone. Before there was a book, there was the case. So people knew me on social media because of what I was going through in real life, like the case paperwork and the investigation and all that. So they saw me, you know, as I'm, you know, going through life's highs and lows. So a lot of people actually knew me from the struggle, from the case, and then just life struggles in general. I've been married before. I'm divorced now. So people have seen the sacrifices that I've made in general to deliver this message and this truth. But after the book was actually published, everybody that has read it, they come back to me. They, you know, they write things to me. They're always in my inbox. They call me, text me. It's just people are with work. I've heard about this book. It really touched me. It gave me the blueprint of my own life, and I'm just blown away by it. So literally everyone that opens it up and has time to read it, it won't let you put it down.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And I'm certainly definitely going to get my hands on it and take a look at it as well, too, because it seems very interesting. And like I said, not knowing the story of your dad being murdered, it piqued my interest, so definitely want to read it as well, too. Like I said, the positive spirit you just had, I don't know what video it was you put up, but it was like, and then you were like, on to the next city, on to this. I'm like, look at her. She is really doing the damn thing. And I like that about you. It's like you, from just hearing your spirit, too, it's like, this is, because it's personal. This story is definitely personal to you. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, what you went through, and I definitely commend you on that as well, too. Definitely, definitely. Because I know it hasn't been easy, especially reliving the events and things that have happened. So I can say this has definitely been something positive, and you can, you know, I can attest to that as well, too. This has been something positive to come out of what has happened to you, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you this. Though it was personal, that message within the book is so universal. And the ultimate thing that it comes out to being is the fact that our people, that we are dying, you know, and we are dying in so many different ways that they don't even realize that they're killing us off. You know, we're killing each other. And if you knew, you know, if you knew who you truly was, it wouldn't be quick for you to, you know, pull the trigger on your brother if you really knew who you were. And if you knew what family you come from and you really took the time to really understand what the word family is, you know, and like, you know, it was told to me by a wise man once. He said a family is like a chain. And so when that chain is broken, it's hard for the ends to find its pattern. Well, that's exactly what happened. When my father was murdered, you know, everyone, we are stuck in 87, you know, so the family, you know, we didn't know where we were going, but it was like this spiritual entity who I refer to as the Most High, that came back and, like, reconnected. You know, I ended up finding out that I have a brother that lives in Canada. So I found him. Well, I knew that I had a brother. My dad used to talk about him, but he lived in Canada when my dad played for the Canadian Lions. This is before I was born. But I never knew how to contact him. I just knew his name was Jason. But in the course of this spiritual journey, the man reaches out and finds me. I have another brother who lives in Virginia, who I never knew anything about. It's like my dad, even in death, something was allowing him to, like, turn over the stones that were left unturned, you know, before he left his time. So the book is so deep. It's about, like, my spiritual connection and how I was given, like, this GPS of instructions to do certain things, and then it later came back to heal my entire family. So I'm, like, setting myself up here for, like, a sacrifice to heal my entire family, and then it goes from me healing my entire family to me being given an assignment to try to heal an entire nation of people, which, you know, delivering the truth, delivering, you know, the message about the cultural deprivation, you know, all of that. So taking you back in time to where you get a clear understanding as to what truly happened to us, you know, from slavery on up, you know, till now, you know. And so, and how we can't go anywhere unless this is addressed. So the movement that I'm pushing is truth. And whatever your truth is, you know, I'm just encouraging people to go and get it. Go find it, research it, dissect it, investigate it. Because that's what's going to bring you out. You know, that's what's going to set you free, you know?
Right. Definitely, definitely. So has anyone came to you and said, you know, Anaisa, this book has touched me. I have a story. What advice can you give me? Has anyone asked you that or particularly said, you know, I kind of can relate. I've been through some things. I want to write a book. What advice have you given them?
Well, people, like I said, people come to me all the time because it's the book has so many different textures and levels to it. Like, you can literally find the story of a single mother in it. You'll find the story of what it means to be fatherless, a father that seems like he can never win, like he's got a family to support. So the black, you know, the black man is highlighted within the book. So I have men, women, different races reach out to me. But as far as being able to start a book, I didn't know that I even had a book until the ending result, as I was being healed through the course of the case. So what happened for me, the process that I went through was, as you are healing, it's okay to, like, jot down and record things, because that's actually what I did. It came a time where I wasn't able to do that because I was a little bit too emotionally attached to the case, so I couldn't do anything else but focus on that. But when things kind of got really still for me and I just, okay, I'm getting stronger and stronger, then I was able to kind of, like, do some record keeping. So I would just encourage them, like, if you are going through a situation that God is showing up and showing out in ways that cannot be explained, because that's exactly what happened with me. This was not explainable. Nope, I went to the pastor of what was happening. I went to adults. I went to people, and nobody could explain to me what the hell was going on. And so at that point, I knew that I had something that was worth being told. So if you know that you have these revelations, or you know that you're coming out of something and you have a desire to help the next person so that they don't go down the same path, or that they can see the message that you're, you know, trying to promote, then I would just start record keeping, and you start there. Don't get discouraged, because I've went through about 12 different laptops, as I said. Some strange stuff was going on here as I was in the process of writing this book. Like, I'm so serious. Like, it's some strange stuff that just happened all the time. You know, laptop just breaks. You know, wake up, pull up the laptop, ready to work. All of a sudden, it's just all blue. You know, stuff that was like stumbling blocks constantly, just like thrown in my path to try to get me to get off track with this. So I just say, just record keep, you know, write as much as you can down along the way. And then at the end, you'll have, you know, the finishing product in due time, because everything's not meant to happen right now. Everything has a season.
Right. Right. Definitely, definitely. And what's coming up for you next year? What can we expect to see from you next year with the book or any type of different, you know, things that you're going to be taking to the next level as far as another book. What can we expect from A Nicer Day this next week? I mean, next year.
Next year. Well, 2020, you know, I just keep hearing the words, get ready. I've sold a lot of seeds this year. You know, I've reached out to Tyler Perry. I've reached out to some other people. I've got connections that are just, like, coming from the sky. And, you know, I'm, like, beyond grateful. So I'm praying for a breakthrough with a movie deal, because that's actually what my dream is to take this to the movie screen, because it is a very powerful story, and it is very bizarre, and it's very unique. Like, there isn't anything else like it out here. So I am I'm hoping that I can hear back from him, you know, or someone from his studio. And if it's not him, then I'm just hoping for that break with the movie deal. As far as where I'm going to be, I'll be in Atlanta. You know, this pretty soon. I haven't set a date yet, but I'll be at a few studio and you know, interviews in Atlanta, and then I've got something to do in Chicago too. So I haven't really, like, sealed the deals, the dates just yet, because I'm still planning this stuff out. Like, I'm just still also new to this. Like, it's just been a year, and I've, like, traveled more this year than I ever have in my life, you know. And I know that it's because the season, it was the time for it. So I would just say, just keep looking out, because I really don't know what God is doing. I really don't. I'm just going with the flow. I'm so serious. Like, I'm just going with the flow. Like, serious business.
Okay. Okay. And like I said, definitely you're making some moves, because like I said, watching your videos and you were saying here, there, you're doing the different interviews. Like I said, I commend you, my sister. Definitely. You're getting the word out about this book. You know, your positiveness and, you know, what the information you've given people about this, I'm definitely know that it's touching people. And like I said, I can't wait to read it and look at it and, you know, hear your story as well, too. But like I said, that's the one thing I commend about you, from seeing you out there, that your whole spirit, yep, your attitude, definitely feeling that vibe.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. Because you already know, a new author, is sometimes you have doubts, insecurities, yep. But you know, I've really been told, I mean, it's really doing good. Like, it's doing exactly what the spirit told me it was supposed to do, so I can't say I'm surprised. I'm just letting it do what it's gonna do, and you know, hopefully you know, everybody finds something that they can connect to within it, you know, to help bring them out, because it's about resilience. I mean, the book is very deep. It's oh goodness.
And I just have to ask you this question. I should have asked it a little earlier, but this question definitely counts. Of course, how much of your family is behind you? Are they behind you 100%?
Oh, my family, they love me. They, you know, of course, in the beginning, they had their doubts. They were like, oh my God, she's going after the people that killed them. Because, you know, I actually know who the killers are and everything. They know who I am. They call me David Jackson. So, but this is what I'm talking about. When you walk into truth, you know, you don't have any fear. Like, so, I mean, it got to the point to where my family was like, oh my God, what are you doing? But I had to let them know, you know, God wouldn't have brought me this far, you know, to leave me. And truly, you know, there's no fear, you know, and it's like, you know, the truth should be respected, and everybody deserves, you know, to be set free, even the people that were behind this, you know. When I came out with this, they thought they got away with murder, and here comes this guy's daughter out of nowhere, you know, and the promotions and everything else. I do all my promotions by myself and all of the above. So, but my family is very, very supportive of me, and I, you know, I do appreciate them. And this is just the beginning. I just keep telling them, hold on, because this is just the beginning. And as long as I have, you know, breath in my body, you know, I'm doing this for all of us, you know. I'm doing this for the culture in general, because it's really powerful. It's deep.
Okay. Definitely. Okay, well, I see we got a caller out here. I'm going to take their call to see what they want to say to you, give you well wishes or whatever. The last four digits of that number is 5310, area code 913. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Anissa. Go ahead and speak.
Hello, how are you doing tonight? First of all, I would just like to say, you know, it's a pleasure being on with you tonight. And the platform that you set up, keep pushing. You know, it's always positive to see another brother push on and do something in a genre that's frowned upon, because I once shared what you did when I was in college. You know, a professor once told me that he could hide a check for $1 million in a book and it won't be found by a African-American or a black man, and that kind of stuck with me. So I've always been into the literary world. I stumbled upon this book, Hands On, and I just want to say, hands down, once I grabbed this book, I was glued to it. It's on so many levels that I want to speak to you about, that I heard Ms. Davis Jackson speak of, to where it's literally you can read the whole story from cover to cover and close it and open it up, and you'll get a totally different story, and that's like amazing. But when you deal with something that's from the Almighty, everything could be possible. You know, it's for the culture. It's basically, it'll make you go get your DNA to see who you are as a person, to stand up and embrace who you are as a person. It does start out as, you know, her father's case and everything, but it slowly, you know, metamorphosis over to, you know, men and women. We're kings and queens, you know, it highlights that, and it's just amazing.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Who we speaking with?
My name is D.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I don't want to take too much time up, but.
We appreciate it, brother. Definitely, definitely. And thank you for calling in.
All right.
All right, Anissa. So that
thank you, Dee.
Is the. Right. Thank Dee for calling in. Definitely, definitely. And we got that the book was able to inspire him and uplift him as well, too. And Dee, it looks like it's the only call in the queue. It was a couple, then it's like they clicked out. But
goodness. Okay.
Right. They clicked out on me. Didn't want to talk to us no more.
Oh, goodness. They were probably listening in.
Yeah, definitely. I get more listeners than callers. I don't know what that's about. Sometimes I really don't want to push the link. I know I have to, Anissa, but I really don't want to push the link, because I really do, but then I don't, because I want people to call in. Because that one call I did have a bunch of people call all the time. But then it's like you get more people listening. I'm listening. I'm like, well, I want y'all to call in, because sometimes the author is also giving away a free book, you know. So it's like y'all kind of missed it out. But here's what I read for you for me, ma'am. That book, I'm going to throw it in my basket. I'm giving away two baskets for my show on the 28th. Would you please do me the honor and inbox me your information? I'm going to inbox you mine as well, too, so I can throw it in my box, because I'm going to give away two baskets. I'm going to give away two baskets. I'm going to put that book in one of the baskets for December 28th.
I would love that, and I will do the same. I'll go ahead and send you the book. That would be awesome. I'm definitely for that. I appreciate you having me on the show tonight, that's for sure. And did you have any questions? Any more questions for me?
No, just to give us your handles before I let you go. Where can the people find you at on social media?
I am on Instagram, Facebook. You know, I do have a website. It's memoirsofabrokenside.com. Not hard to find at all. You can shoot me an inbox if you want a autographed book copy. I'll go ahead and send it out to you. Copies do come with a special gift, so that's just something that I do for my supporters and readers, and they really do appreciate it. Not everybody actually gets anything in life, so they really like the idea of the gift. So, and I'm all for it.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Anissa. I have somebody that I know I'm cool with that spells their name the same way as you. So it's kind of like you said, a nice one. Okay, yeah.
Yes, everybody. That's, you know what? That's why I don't even take it with a grain of salt, because everybody does it. Like, They call me Anissa, Amina. I'm like, okay, how do you get Amina out of Anissa? Okay.
Right, out of my name, actually, right. Where you get Amina?
But it's Anissa, so it's okay. It'll grow on you.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'm so glad that I was able to get you on this show. I'm glad that we talked tonight. I'm definitely looking forward to reading the book as well, Memoirs of a Broken Side by Anissa
yes.
Davis Jackson, everybody. Definitely check her out. She's on Facebook and Twitter. Are you on Amazon as well, too?
I am on Amazon. I do apologize. Amazon, definitely. Just search
okay.
the name and it should come right on up.
Definitely. Or if you guys want to purchase the book from her personal by hand, I'm sure she has a PayPal and a Cash App. You can hit her up on her Facebook page, Anissa Davis Jackson. Thank you for coming on tonight, Anissa, and I will speak with you,
you
soon,
welcome.
Okay?
All right.
Thank
you so much, Jeffrey. God bless. Have a good one.
You too. Enjoy the rest
of the
evening.
All
okay,
right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. Tonight we had Anissa Davis Jackson on the Saturday Spotlight. We definitely excited about her coming on, talking about her book, Memoirs of a Broken Side. Anissa is on Facebook. She is also on Twitter, and she is also on Amazon. Her name is Anissa Davis Jackson, and the book is Memoirs of a Broken Side. Next week, we talk to author Danielle Bigsby on the Saturday Spotlight, Nasty D. And the reason they call her Nasty D is because she writes erotica. We talk to her next week. And then the week after that, I believe it is the girl that writes the science fiction books. I cannot think of her name offhand, but she writes African-American science fiction. That is something that I've definitely been interested in. I've never read a science fiction African-American adult novel before. I picked it up in my teenage and younger years than that when I was in school. But to read African-American science fiction, I'm looking forward to talking to that author as well, too, on a Saturday Spotlight. Well, as always, this has been your favorite author, Jeffrey Rochelle. Just like Anissa, I'm going to spell it out for you because I get that as well a lot, too, Anissa. It is E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L. And this has been the Saturday Spotlight. As I stated before, as of next week, we have four more episodes until the end of season one. Christmas is right around the corner. 2019 is getting ready to end. We are going into 2020, a whole new decade and new millennium. So definitely, as always, thank you for calling in. I will see you guys on next Saturday night. As I always state, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. Have a good weekend and a good week, and I will see you again next Saturday night on the Saturday Spotlight.